Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
All right, all right. Welcome into Overtime here on the Fan Run Studios Network. As you can probably tell by now, my name is not Tanner Carson. Our fearless leader is out today. I'm not really sure what he's doing. I was very confused by his text. I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit, though, because I heard some tidbits of it, and it sounds like a relatively interesting story. Would you say so, Cole?
I would say so, yes.
All right, then we'll get into that. My name is Rick Butler. Me and the man at the top of the crow's nest, Cole McCormick, we will be here with you tonight for the next 2 hours. Now, a little bit of preface going into the show today. Tanner had told me a couple hours ago that he actually just texted me. We're getting a little more information. Tanner had texted me a couple hours ago saying he wasn't going to be here. So he told me it was just going to be, you know, you and I tonight, Cole.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't even figure out much about this until, I would say the last hour.
Mm.
So here's kind of what we're looking at going into the show today. Preparation,
mm-hmm.
Minimal,
mm-hmm.
Knowledge going into the show, minimal.
Sure.
But I think we can have a new motto for today at the very least.
Okay.
All confidence, no intelligence.
I like it.
I feel like maybe that's the way we can run the show today. We're going to make it up as we go on the fly. But I feel like maybe even that might be a better idea tonight. I mean, without Tanner here kind of whipping us into shape and keeping us on track, things might go a little off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's a casual Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee plays tomorrow, so we have plenty to talk about for that. But there's nothing going on tonight. So I feel like we can kind of just wing it. And I feel like that might even be a better route to go. What do you think?
I would agree 100%.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to do. Tanner out tonight. Brackman out tonight. So you got Rick and Cole here. Now, let's think. What is the top news of the day today? I feel like you got to go back to the Lady Vols basketball game tomorrow. Because at the very least, that is what I saw the most on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
do you think?
No, I'm right there with you. Yeah, Twitter last night was nothing but angry fans towards Holly.
Yeah,
angry fans towards the program and how things are going over there for the Lady Vols.
Yeah, it's not good to say the least. And I saw former Overtime co-host Lucas Panzeca. Doing great over there in Nashville. He's been on the show a couple of times since. And then other people have caught on to this in the meantime, but he was the first one I saw. It's a weird world we live in 2019, where the men's basketball team is ranked number one. The women's program are on a five-game slide,
yep.
Not even ranked in the top 25,
yep.
Have coaching instability, or at least, you know, I would say the average fan would think there's coaching instability and that we have something that should be coming up in the form of our current coach, Holly Warlick, leaving the program soon in one way or another. But it's a weird world we live in right now.
It really is, yeah.
So, as we kind of talked about a second ago, Twitter was very unhappy. And frankly, they had a reason to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Tennessee Lady Volunteers hosted Arkansas last night on We Back Pat Night. And after a fairly close game the whole time, Arkansas hits a shot with just a couple seconds left to go to take the lead 80-79. The Lady Volunteers respond with an answer at the buzzer. Does not go in. Arkansas wins 80-79 on We Back Pat Night.
It's not what you want. It's not what you want. It's not what anybody expected. I didn't think Arkansas was a big juggernaut in the women's game. At least I didn't think they were.
I feel like they're not, right?
Like, yeah.
I can't imagine that the Arkansas Razorbacks women's program is some kind of elite program out there that that if they come onto our turf, right, and they get a win, at the very least, that's semi-respectable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, they're 14-5, we're 12-6.
Yeah.
They have two more wins than us and one less loss.
You know, I think it's more of the girls last night just quitting, because I saw a few clips of the game. Didn't watch it, of course. We were in here last night, and then also after we got out, I just didn't care enough to turn it on. But a few clips I did see rolling around on Twitter and the internet, the girls just didn't have any heart put into it. I don't know if you saw any clips last night, but I know John, he tweeted one out. And it was just our girls just meandering down the court, trotting down the court.
Yep.
Arkansas, same girl who inbounded, drove right down the court, lays it up. I mean, nobody even tried.
No.
Nobody even cared.
No, and I saw the same clip as well. I think I sent it to my friends. I sent it to my dad and just said, you know, what an utterly dismal performance right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's easy that you, whether you're watching the games or whether you're not, at this current point, the Lady Vols do not have what Chris Jericho made famous, it. They just don't have that killer instinct that this program essentially founded.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I love that Russell says, you know, the Lady Vols invented the sport of women's basketball. And I think that's hilarious, and I think that's funny, and frankly, it's probably true. But I also think that in a way, you know, and UConn has had a lot of this lately too, but Lady Vols, they were the ones who founded this killer instinct in women's basketball.
Yep.
And it's clear to see that they do not have it. I mean, just a tough performance at the Thompson Bowling Arena last night. I mean, what did you think of Holly's comments after the game when she was talking about, well, you know, we were showing effort out there and da 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 da. I mean, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought it was laughable. Let me pull one up because I sent one in our OT content group on Twitter, which we need to add you to, by the way,
yeah,
Rick.
Yeah, please do.
It's me.
I love having friends and being in groups
like
that.
Yeah, it's me, Daniel, and Tanner, and I feel like we need to add you to the group, so we'll add you.
Wow.
But anyway, I sent this.
Who knew I had friends?
I sent this to the guys last night. A quote. It says, Holly Warlick on losing on We Back Pat night. She said, quote, I think Pat Summit would be proud of how we fought today. Do you?
Oof.
Do you really think that? Because I, for one, do not.
No.
I think she would have made you run sprints with the girls.
Right.
You'd have been out there in your flats.
She said, you take responsibility.
Yeah, get out there. Just a sorry excuse for a head coach. It really is embarrassing. I'm not one to really care about the Lady Vols, you know, every game. I could really care less. Yeah, I want them to be good because they're the Lady Vols. Yeah, I want them to be good because they're the women's basketball team.
Yeah, I like bragging about them.
Sure.
Even though I don't follow them.
I mean, that's one of the only things we've had to hang our hats on since the late 90s. I mean, sure, I want to see them win.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's get one thing straight. I've said it multiple times. I'll say it again. It is not hard to win here if you're going to be the women's basketball coach. It's just not.
Sure.
It's just not.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, Pat and Tennessee pretty much created this sport in a way. It's not if Pat Summit never came along to Tennessee, who knows where women's basketball would be? Sure, there probably would have been another pioneer, but Pat's the one that paved the way. She's the one that made it famous. Her Tennessee teams, all the girls she coached and recruited, and just to see where it is now is just embarrassing.
Yeah, and here's the other thing too, right? I feel like this is not a talent issue.
No, it's not.
I feel like we have a surplus of talent on that roster. You know, whether you follow it or not, you can at least know that the Tennessee Lady Volunteers program brings in talent year in and year out because of what this program is and the magnitude of where it is on the national stage. And so you cross that one off the list, right? And then to me, there's pretty much two other things that I expect from any program in that sense when you are talking about such a kind of a bad season or especially a bad stretch of games. So the three things to me would be talent, how hard you're working, and coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So we've crossed talent off the list. That's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's absolutely a mixture of those last two things. I think you can certainly tell that that this team is not Like you mentioned with that clip, right? You would never expect a Lady Volunteers basketball team to just kind of meander down the court, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Oh, the next girl will get it. Oh, no, okay, that girl will pick her up. Nobody did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's inexcusable. And then you go to the third point, and it's coaching.
Yep.
I think there's been time and time again, and the one that I saw yesterday was that final play when it was just like, oh, no, we should have had a better shot on the very last bucket of the game.
Yeah.
We really couldn't have drawn something else up?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about basketball. I never really played basketball, but I feel like I've watched enough. I feel like I could have at least drawn a pick and roll or a screen type of situation there.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah. It was a bad play. I don't know what they're thinking. Or I say they. Holly, I don't know what she's thinking. That made no sense. That last play, that's just like they asked – a dad out there in the stands, hey, what do you think we should do on this last play to win this game? Oh, on hey. Wee Pat and I don't on our home
yeah,
court.
Okay, let's throw it into the best player. I feel like that's probably a good idea.
All right, let's do it.
And then to have all these people out here saying that she deserves to stay. No, don't fire her. Don't get rid of another legend. Look what happened when we did that to Fulmer. There is no way you can compare Fulmer leaving to Holly potentially leaving. There's just no
way.
That's
so true.
There's just no way.
That's so true. Hey, you can acknowledge that, hey, she was an assistant coach. She was a longtime friend. She was a very good partner to legendary Pat Summitt, mm-hmm. but she was not a national championship winning coach.
No, she's not.
It's not the same. And to me, and obviously I cannot speak right now for the entire Lady Vols fan universe, because, you know, I'm a fair weather fan, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, man, when it's time, it's time. And I know she's a legend, and I know she's a local girl. But to me, like, I don't really even consider those things. It's just like, hey, she didn't work out.
Yeah.
What do you do with coaches when they don't work out? You move on.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'd be time to move on.
It comes down to two things for me when it comes to Holly and her future with the program. Do we as a fan base, and then also we as the university, do we care, one, more about winning basketball games, or do we care more about who she is, what her name is, how long she's been here, and relationships? That's what it comes down to, winning or relationships.
It's a great point.
I mean, that's what it comes – I mean, that was always a fault of Fulmer. I mean, I love Fulmer, but when he was here, one of his biggest faults, he hung on to his boys way too long. He couldn't let them go. And at the end of the day, that's what got him fired as well. Do you want to win, or do you want to keep Holly happy because she was Pat's girl? That's what it comes down to.
I mean, nothing more to be said. I think that bookends it perfectly.
I'll add one.
I think that exactly nails it.
I'll add one more thing.
Okay.
Lady Vols next game, Thursday night, it's only going to get worse. You know who's coming to town?
Cole, you know what I hate?
What?
I hate it when we're trying to do a two-man show in here. We're trying to make it a tag team episode.
Mm.
I felt like we were doing a great job right now. And then all of a sudden, like he's stone cold, busting the glass, heading through the doors, Tanner Carson is now here. He's sitting to my left.
Rick Butler, you make the tag team reference. You should know as well as anybody that every great tag team needs a great manager. Okay?
All right. You sold me.
I'm popping in to manage. You know, I'm trying to do the low blow to the opponent.
Okay.
It's just trying to give you an advantage real quick.
All right.
I was on my way. I had to stop here and get something real quick before I went to a stand-up event. No, I'm not doing stand-up.
Are you? Oh.
I'm not doing
that stand-up. Was my question.
I was about to say, quit the show. Sorry, we're going
We're headed there.
We're going to Fox.
We'll take the podcast on the road.
We're going to Fox National Programming.
I'm not that funny. And two, I cannot believe it or not, for a radio host, I'm not good at talking to people.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not either. I'm not either.
So
I'm right there with you.
It's easier when I can't see my audience. If I can see my audience, I'd start choking. Man, I'd be like.
So you are doing stand-up?
No.
Oh.
That's why I don't do stand-up. I'd be like Eminem at the start of 8 Mile. Start choking.
Oh.
B-Rab's choking.
Oh, my gosh.
He's choking.
Oh, my.
Tanner, while we
have. Vomit all over my sweater already. Mon spaghetti.
While we have you here, Tanner.
Pursue rap if you're not going to do stand-up.
That's not good either.
It's pretty white of you.
Don't know if you listened to the entire first segment.
I did.
But give us your thoughts on the state of the Lady Vol program in Holly Warlick.
Dumpster fire.
You had a funny tweet yesterday.
That's a good point.
You just wrote out Holly, but Five L's.
With the L.
It was good. It will be six L's. It will be six L's after Thursday night.
Can you keep quoting yourself, quote-tweeting yourself on that?
I will. Okay. Muffet McGraw is going to walk in here, defending national champions Notre Dame. They're going to, quote, walk the dog. They're going to walk the dog all over Holly Worlick and whatever is left of the once proud Lady Vols program. I did watch the end of that game live last night. Complete disgrace. I knew once that Westbrook hit the free throws, got the Lady Vols up by one, I said that they're going to do something absolutely mind-boggling stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they did do that. They just set one little screen. Sure enough, forgot her first name, but Monk. I assume she's the sister of Malik Monk. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that since she is from Arkansas. Hits that little runner. Just as easy like that. Holly calls timeout. I wonder what they're going to draw up here. I'll just give it to Westbrook. No other motion, anything. Just do a little ISO play. And, yeah, you saw how well that worked out.
I think it's time we stop giving Westbrook the ball in crunch time. Because she obviously cannot do it.
I think it's time you quit letting Holly get the clipboard and draw up plays, too.
That's another good point. Yeah.
So, my question to you, gentlemen, before I have to jet out of here. I think we're on the same page of it's time for her to go. I think the majority of even the most diehard Lady Vols fans are on that train too. And this is a diehard dedicated fan base. Some of them have known about, watched Holly Worlick, even some of them before she was just an assistant to Pat.
Yeah.
Talking about that's the first All-American, that's the first great player Pat Summitt had. She's the first to get her jersey retired. Even the people watching her all the way back then have realized, okay, it's time to go. She's in her seventh season. You've done nothing but regress since you had those first two teams of hers win SEC championships. You've done nothing but regress. So I know we're all on the same page. My question to you is, do you go ahead and maybe do it midseason if you're former, or just let it play out since it looks like the team's already mailed this in? That's my question to you.
You know, I think it matters about recruiting. I don't know what our recruits look like. I don't know any of that. To me, I don't see a lot of hope the rest of the season. And I guess kind of for the reasons that everyone has been saying to keep her, like my general thought was, all right, you know, you showed the respect to finish out the season. It doesn't really seem like we're going to compete for anything this year, you know, especially if the season is going to continue like it is right now. Let her play out the season. And then, you know, it also depends on when Gino Auriemma is going to come here. I mean, if it works better for him, for his schedule to come to Knoxville during the off season, well, then let him do that. Because I feel like we should be getting Gino Auriemma and not settling for less.
It's a good point.
That's not going to happen. But,
I mean,
as someone who's not entirely a Lady Vols fan, I feel like that's our only option.
And as somebody who admittedly doesn't follow the women's game closely, I do know that you as a program, you can back up the Brinks truck for just about anybody outside of Geno. And I will say outside of Muffet McGraw, too. I think those two, and you got the coach at Stanford. I don't think those guys are going anywhere. But there's that dude at Louisville, Jeff Walls. He's taken that team to a couple of Final Fours. No national title that's happened. You got Vic Schaefer down there at Mississippi State. I think he's a little old.
Yeah.
But you can see that's also a program that's been the Final Fours. I don't think you're getting Dawn Staley go away from South Carolina. But basically, take your pick of names.
Yeah.
I think you can find somebody who can pick at where the program's supposed to be. You don't want Holly to keep letting the ship sink any further down to where whoever the next person is, it's going to be a rebuild. You don't want a rebuild. You're not supposed to have a rebuild. You know, make it like an Urban Meyer handing off the Ohio State football program to Ryan Day type of thing.
Yeah.
Make it like Bob Stoops handing Oklahoma off to Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
To use some football now.
No, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know if he should go ahead and let her go or let her stay. A part of me says keep her on for the season. But then another part of me says, well, I mean, it's terrible as it is right now. Just think of how much worse it could be. And like you said, you don't want the next coach to have a deeper hole than they have to. You don't want to just keep Holly here because, oh, well, she's Holly. She's been here forever, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, throw that out. Like I said, it's either about winning or about relationships. What do you care more about? And if you're – when you're the AD, when you're the boss of the coaches, you need to care about winning, because if they don't win, you don't have a job. I mean, simple as that. So, I don't know. I don't know what he should do.
And Phil Fulmer's legacy as an AD isn't going to live and die by Holly Whirling. Well, no. I mean, even though he has stated publicly that football's number one, and certainly that's what he needs to worry about the most right now, because obviously he doesn't have to worry about men's basketball. Mm-hmm. So that's your other revenue sport. Say what you want to about women's basketball, about being a revenue sport. It kind of is here.
Yeah.
Kind of is here. You don't want that to go into such a state that's unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, you're right.
All right, Tanner, I have one last thing for you.
Yes.
It'll just take 30 seconds.
Do it.
Because I feel like we may or may not have been adequately set up for this show.
Sorry.
That's okay. We forgive you.
Cole and I don't do a lineup half the time anyway.
What?
I don't do a lineup half the time anyway.
Oh. Hmm. Interesting.
Makes me feel good.
Best shows are usually off the top of my head.
Well, then we'll go to the top of your head right now. Tanner, sure. We kind of need some show topics for the rest of the show, man. So tell us what to talk about.
A lot of great hoops action tonight. Kentucky's taking on Mississippi State. That's mm-hmm. a ranked match.
Nailed it. All right. Well, I'm writing that down.
Auburn.
Okay.
They have a road test at South Carolina. I say it's a test because we saw the way South Carolina started.
All right. SEC hoops.
You can talk about the bunch of Saints fans following a civil suit. Trying. Yes. They're trying their best to get the Rams and the Saints players back to replay the end of the game.
Oh, man.
That is laughable.
Which will not happen.
We'll get into that and also talk a little bit about the Super Bowl matchup. Yes.
Got a great topic here, and you can thank me later. On the heels of the Saints fans wanting to sue to get the players to come back, I think you and Cole can have a good enough topic, and I think people will call in for this too. Ooh, it could be a good Twitter question as well. Which Tennessee sporting event would you like to call the players back and redo the end of the game?
Ooh, that is a good one.
Your pick.
That is a good one.
I am out.
That's
a good one for the content.
Mic drop.
I mean, just phenomenal.
Wow, man.
Can you ask for anything more?
That's why I'm the host.
That's why some content.
That's why that's our manager right there.
It's our Mama Goose.
He said it. I mean, if Cole and I are competing for the tag team titles, we need a good manager to whip us into shape a little bit.
Right.
He came in here. He told us exactly what we need to do.
Right.
To win, and then he's on his merry way now.
That's so right.
I'm kind of disappointed Tanner's not doing the stand-up himself.
That would have been phenomenal.
I mean, I that's kind of all I was thinking about for, I'm going to say, a good 90% of that conversation we just had.
Yeah.
Thinking about Tanner going doing stand-up.
That would have been fun. We would have had to have gone.
Before he gets to his car and turns on the radio, how good do you think Tanner would be?
I think it'd be pretty good.
I kind of do, too.
I think we're pretty good.
I kind of do, too.
I mean, because during breaks, he's funny.
Yeah, he is. He's got a lot of good quips.
He's quick, too.
He just kind of paces around this little spot right here.
The little green mile.
That's never a good name for it. He just kind of rattles off some quick jokes here.
He does. Yeah, he does. It's good stuff.
Well, like Tanner said, that's kind of what we'll be talking about. I think next we're going to get into some NFL talk. I think this Saints story is totally nuts.
It is nuts.
I think that's worth talking about. That's a good idea. So if you have some ideas for what situation, if you could bring Tennessee players back to redo one ending to a game, what would it be? If you want to call into that, or if you want to call in to talk about anything else with Cole and I like to talk about wrestling if you want to do that, give us a call. Cole will meet you at the phone. 865-546-8200. Again, that's 865-546-8200. Give us a call. We'll be back on the other side of this break. Fan Run Radio. Back here on Overtime, 6:33 p.m. on your Tuesday night. Let's see. Rick Butler and Cole McCormick here with you for the remaining hour and a half of the show. Let's see. We talked a little bit about the Lady Vols and the Holly Whirling situation. Mm. We talked about our fearless leader, Tanner Carson, abandoning us.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Only for tonight. Not forever. That'd be sad. Mm-hmm. Tanner Carson is on his way to a stand-up event right now. No, unfortunately, he will not be participating. Maybe we can convince him to try some stand-up in here during a show one day.
Or so he says.
Oh, man. Yep, you're right.
I don't know if we have
that
any proof.
Conspiracy theory.
I don't know if we have any proof that he's not.
I don't know where Tanner Carson is, but if you know of a stand-up night tonight, go to it. See if Tanner's there, and if he does.
If he's on stage, let us know.
Yeah, please record it. We'll put it straight into the podcast. Start out the show.
That's right.
Dude, Saints fans, justified or kind of crazy?
Both.
Yeah.
I think a little both.
I mean, they are doing a lot right now.
They are doing everything.
There are billboards across the whole city. The NFL blew it. The Saints got robbed. I mean, man. It said Adam Schefter put out a tweet earlier with pictures of these two billboards. Huge billboards with nothing else on them except for Saints logos and Saints got robbed and NFL blew it. They spell blue their typical Louisiana way.
Yeah. They're proud of that.
They are really proud of
that. They're proud of that. And I don't really know why.
It's like the Go Tigers.
Yeah. They like their, what is it, E-A-U-X?
Yeah.
Yeah, they love that. They love it.
It's a French thing, right?
I guess. Or Cajun thing.
Maybe we can ask, maybe we can ask Yves Pons. Maybe he'll know.
Yeah.
He can confirm. I don't have any contact to him, but, you know, if we ever get the chance.
Yeah.
All right. So Adam Schefter tweeted out at 11:30, 7 a.m. today, Matt Bowers, a diehard Saints fan who owns several car dealerships throughout the Southeast, has rented billboards in 7 locations in and around Atlanta. Okay, so not even just the New Orleans area. He went to where the Super Bowl is going to be.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
That's awesome. Is pretty cool.
That's
pretty badass.
Especially because the Saints and the Falcons are such big rivals. I mean, could you imagine?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, could you imagine, let's say, a Tennessee fan doing that down in Tuscaloosa or a Bama fan doing that up here in Knoxville? Could you imagine the outrage?
Oh, man.
Oh, it would be so good.
How many diehard Vol fans just would not care about the following consequences, and they would just go tear it down, vandalize it? I mean, people wouldn't stand for that in our city.
No, I'd say about 90%.
Now, granted, if we did that in Tuscaloosa, I don't know if they're even smart enough to climb a ladder
to get up
to the billboards.
I don't know
if
they have
billboards.
So we'd
probably be fine there.
I don't know if they have billboards.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, they are stuck in the past down there.
Yeah.
Still like 1950.
Remember when they lost the national championship
this
year? I
do. Which one?
Huh?
Which one?
That's a good point. Remember when we beat them in basketball? Couple days ago.
I do.
Yeah,
I
pretty
do
good.
Remember that.
Anyway, so it says has rented billboards in 7 locations in and around Atlanta with 16 placements to voice his displeasure with the NFL. His quote, he told ESPN, "I'm not done yet." I mean, this guy Matt Bowers is on a mission right now.
Yes.
He is on a mission. I saw Michael Thomas, the Saints star wide receiver. I mean, he's been throwing tweets around left and right, calling out specific areas of the NFL officiating book.
Yeah.
I don't even know what he's referring to, but I mean, he's throwing those out. He's directly calling out Roger Goodell. But here might be the craziest thing that Saints fans are doing. It says here, according to an article from Fox News, 2 New Orleans Saints season ticket holders have filed a lawsuit against the NFL on Tuesday, asking that a Louisiana state court judge to order Commissioner Roger Goodell to invoke an obscure rule that could force the final moments of Sunday's NFC Championship game to be replayed.
Interesting.
So, let's break this down for a second. The game happens Sunday afternoon. You know, whether you agree with the call or not, my stance is that, and yes, the Saints were in a position to win, but I see people saying, well, if the refs had gotten that call right, the Saints would be in the Super Bowl. Well, I mean, not exactly. I mean, it wasn't a touchdown play, like a game-winning touchdown play, so there were a couple other things to do. But you take what happened Sunday afternoon. Eventually, you bring both teams back to the Superdome to replay the final 1 minute and, you
49
know,
seconds.
49 that. Seconds.
Yeah.
Now, that is interesting.
I mean, it's interesting. I can see where a lot of Saints fans would say if this does happen, the Saints are going to the Super Bowl, and also if the bad non-PI call was called, they'd probably be in the Super Bowl anyway, because if it was just a minute 49 left on the clock,
You take a couple of knees.
Take a couple of knees. Yeah, exactly. So
you
I don't
kick
really
a field goal.
Yeah, but even then, you don't know what could happen. But I love the passion. I love the enthusiasm and the fight for their team. But let's get real. This isn't going
to
happen.
You nailed it. It's cool for them to rally together about this, but I mean, give me a break. This is absolutely preposterous. Yeah. These teams are not coming back together to play the final 2 minutes of the game. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think, like, I would be interested in it if it happened because I don't think it's ever happened before. It's probably never going to happen again.
No.
But, God, would that not just be the most anticlimactic thing?
Yeah.
Unless you are in New Orleans, who cares? Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, once the spectacle of these two teams coming back together is done, who the hell cares?
Yeah.
That 2 minutes would be so boring. It would be a complete waste of time and effort, again, unless it changed the outcome of the Super Bowl. But, like, I just don't see it. And reading in this article, it says, according to Rule 17, Section 2, Article 1, which I guess is probably what Michael Thomas tweeted out, of the NFL rulebook, the league commissioner has the sole authority to investigate and take appropriate disciplinary and or corrective measures if any club action, non-participant interference, or calamity occurs in an NFL game which the commissioner deems so extraordinarily unfair or outside the accepted tactics encountered in professional football that such action has a major effect on the result of the game. That was a mouthful to speak.
That was a lot.
I mean, I don't see this happening. I mean, come on.
Especially with the commissioner we have right now. I mean, do you really think Roger Goodell? Do you really think Roger Goodell is going to get up and do something about this? He's already hated by everybody.
And especially after the Saints got in trouble within the last decade or so,
yeah,
for cheating.
Exactly.
I feel like Roger Goodell is the kind of guy that holds a grudge, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I love it. As a sports fan and as a fan of just pure passion when it comes to your team, I love everything about it. But I'm sorry, New Orleans. I hate to break it to you. Save your money. Save your time. Save your energy. Save your breath. This isn't going to happen. It's just not. We all want it to, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Did you guys talk about the overtime in the NFL yesterday?
How it needs to be changed.
Yeah.
We did. Not extensively, but we mentioned it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if anybody took this stance, and I do think that it should be changed. But I will also say, if you can take your team and you get the coin flip, I personally am fine with a coin flip. I think that's fair. That's 50-50, whatever. Right? But here's the thing. It's not like in college to where if you can make it 25 yards – you know, you win the game. If you are in the NFL and you can make it 80 yards down the field and score a touchdown, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So while I do think that the NFL overtime rule should be changed, like I'm not at least as hostile as some people are about it, just because I really do feel that way. Like, if you can drive the ball 80 yards and score, then I mean, hell, like, I think you deserve to win the game.
Sure.
Now, is it unfortunate and likely unfair that the other team doesn't even get a chance, right? For instance, Patrick Mahomes did not even get a chance to step on the field in that overtime. But it was like, hey, it's not just Patrick Mahomes' team.
Mm.
Football, more than any other sport, is a team sport on both sides of the ball. So if your defense is going to let you down, if your defense is going to let the other team just march down the field like they own the place and score a touchdown, I kind of think that the other team deserves to win the overtime.
Sure. Before I make this point, just so I don't look like a total idiot, is it true that Andy Reid deferred in overtime? Is that true? Because I heard and saw places that the Chiefs won the toss, and he elected to go on defense first. And if that is true, we need to stop blaming the overtime rule in the NFL and go ahead and start blaming Andy Reid for such a stupid decision.
I'm trying to look it up now.
I have not heard
that narrative yet.
I saw a lot of different places where the Chiefs won, which I was watching, but honestly, I can't remember. But I heard from a lot of different people they won the toss and Andy Reid deferred and would rather play defense first.
So I'm reading this article from KansasCity.com. It doesn't really give a lot of clarity to it, but it just says, as the coin finally hit the emblem-stained grass, the advantage in an AFC championship game was settled. Heads, it was. The overtime football belonged to the Patriots. 13 plays later, so did the Lamar Hunt trophy. I feel like that's a little Do you have any idea what word I'm trying to say?
No.
Ambiguous.
Okay, that makes sense.
Maybe.
That makes sense.
Okay, I feel like it's, you know, that's a little vague, but just the line, the advantage in an AFC championship game was settled, heads it was, the overtime football belonged to the Patriots. I don't really know, but you're right. If they deferred, shame on them. You deserve to lose.
Yeah, which I don't know if that's true. I haven't done the appropriate research for it, but I did see and hear that from a lot of different places that they won the coin toss, but for some reason, Andy Reid wanted to defer.
Now, I will say, the carrier pigeon of information has just flown in the Fan Run Studios door. Tanner Carson says Patriots won the toss.
Okay. Then that makes sense. But I've been thinking about that narrative the last few days that they won and deferred. And I was like, well, the argument ends right here. Andy Reid's just an idiot. But if they didn't, then sure. I'm glad it's not that. I'm glad it's not that because, honestly, in my opinion, might have to lose his job. I mean, that's a pretty dumb mistake.
That's a pretty bad mistake, especially considering the team that the Chiefs had.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just, you know, some schmuck team who, you know, who danced their way into where they are. No, yeah. Like, this was arguably the best team in professional football the entire regular season.
Yeah.
Man.
No, yeah. I'm looking it up right now. They did win the coin toss. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. I take back everything I said. But still.
Leave it to the Patriots.
But though. I'm kind of with you. I think there does need to be a change in the overtime model the NFL has going on. It just doesn't make sense. It just really doesn't.
Now, I will say, just for kicks and grins, before we head to a break here in a couple minutes, I think that the college overtime rule needs to be changed as well. I think the 25-yard line is...
It's a little close.
It's a little close.
Yeah.
If it was me, I'd back it up to the, you know, maybe the 40 or so. Because I think at that point, like, you're in field goal range from the start.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The LSU-A&M game is the first overtime game that comes to mind, and that was one of, if not the most fun stretches of college football this entire year across every conference.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of think they should push it back a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think college football's overtime is perfect either. I don't think the NFL's is. But I think that they're good enough at what they do, and I'm not too terribly upset with either.
That's a good point. I've never had a real problem with colleges. If there was one thing I would change, yeah, it'd probably be where you start from. Because just look at the power offenses now. I mean, some offenses, if they get into an overtime situation, it's more than likely they're going to win right there from the 25. But yeah, NFL, I think definitely needs to be changed. It's just, when it comes down to it, is that fair? And the answer is no. One team gets the ball, and the other one probably won't even have a chance to run any more plays.
Yeah, but if your defense lets you down that bad.
Yeah, but still. This is how I view it. You get to overtime because both teams have obviously put in the same amount of work to get there. Because if you don't have the same score, you're not there. So I feel like in overtime, both teams should have the exact same opportunities like they did in regulation. That's just how I see it.
Yeah. I totally see where you're coming from. And I think ultimately I do like that college football does give them that chance. But I'm not too terribly upset with it. I think if your defense loses you the game, sorry, you deserve to lose. It's not like you got the ball driven 40 yards on you. You got the ball driven down your throat from an opening kickoff stance.
Mm, yeah.
But that's all we'll say on that. If you have an opinion on overtime, if you have an opinion on the crazy Saints fans or the lawsuit that is happening or anything that we've been talking about today, give us a call, 865-546-8200. We will come back on the other side of this break. Fan Run Radio.
Can you believe it? 2019.
Back here on Overtime, Rick Butler, Cole McCormick here with you. 6:52 p.m. on your Tuesday evening. During the break, we have a little bit of breaking news.
Yeah.
Cole, what is it?
Yeah, I'm sure everyone is aware who Darius Garland is, at least those following college basketball, SEC basketball. But Mr. Garland, a former five-star point guard who chose Vanderbilt out of all possible landing spots. He chose to be a Commodore, tore his knee up back in November, and he has been out since, and it will be out for the remainder of the season, a huge blow for the Commodores. But just under 20 minutes ago, he released a statement on his Twitter about his future with the Commodores. He says in his notes app, I might add, very official.
Oh, the classic very, notes app.
Very.
We've made many references to, if it's not on the notes app,
it ain't real.
Is it? Does it even matter?
No.
The answer is no.
But this is in the notes app, but we'll give him credit.
Well, he goes to Andy, so.
Yeah, smart,
I'd
smart
expect
kid.
Him to do a little bit.
At least try.
Yeah.
At least try. Garland says, I would like to thank Vanderbilt University, the athletic department, and Vanderbilt administration. I would really like to thank Coach Bryce Drew, who is not just an awesome coach, but a great is capitalized, all letters are capitalized, person, and the entire basketball staff. I thank my teammates and Commodore fans for a tremendous opportunity and most valuable experience. Unfortunately, I suffered a season-ending injury. After considerable deliberation with my family and medical staff, I am withdrawing from Vanderbilt this semester to prepare for the NBA draft. I will forever be grateful to Vanderbilt and wish the program much success for the remainder of the season and beyond. Darius Garland. So Garland, officially in the NBA draft. I like it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like it as a Tennessee fan. It means he's not coming back to a rival of ours next year.
Yeah, five-star point guard. Don't want to play against that.
It is interesting, though. I don't know where last name Garland, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where Garland was projected to go in the draft. I don't know if he was, you know, if he's a top five, top 10, first round, second round kind of talent or so. I got to imagine he's probably pretty good, and he's probably hearing some good things in his ear if, you know, he's not even going to play a lick of collegiate basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of interesting, though, that this is the second year in a row that this has happened.
Yeah.
You look at a highly touted recruit, Michael Porter Jr. last year, he went to Missouri, suffered an injury at the beginning, didn't even step foot on the court, I'm pretty sure in his whole tenure there.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I think if he had played that, he would have been better. And on draft night, he did slide down a little bit, but for not playing 1 second of college basketball for Missouri, still went the 14th overall pick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I believe he has not made his NBA debut yet. Let me see. Okay, so he played actually 3 games at Missouri.
I thought he played a handful.
Yes, he played a handful. 30 points in 3 games.
Okay.
But he has not played for the Denver Nuggets yet, so they are still waiting on him to come around. But it is kind of interesting. I don't know what the trend is, and if this is going to, you know, be a trend for these players, and that these teams are just willing to take the risk as long as their doctors seem fit and they feel good about him. But it is kind of interesting that these guys are still, you know, that highly touted going into the draft without really playing that much basketball. And I know that, well, when did Garland get hurt?
November.
Okay, so yeah, so it's been a while. Anyways, though, you're right. I mean, we'll see what it does in the NBA, but hey, if we can get five-star not to come back to Vanderbilt next year,
would be nice.
No, man, I'm not too upset about it. All right, we are approaching hour number two here on Overtime. Stick with us. We got a bunch of good stuff coming up next hour. Did I run too long there?
Yeah, but it's okay.
Okay. All right. Should we just cut to break?
Sure.
Let's go to break. We'll see you next hour. Fox Sports Knoxville.
Most businesses are looking.